Senate will come to order. Roll call.
Anderson, roll call for Tuesday, February 18th. Anderson, District 2?
Here.
Anderson, District 28?
Here.
Barnard?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Kraft?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Amrick?
Here.
Esquibel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert? Hicks,
here.
Hines,
here.
Johnson,
here.
Landon,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Nutting,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Schiffer,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Platern,
here.
President Ross.
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Pastor Minder.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for another day of life, another day of liberty. Thank you for these men and women that represent me and the other citizens of Wyoming, and I pray that you would bless them and help them again as they go through these tedious budget processes. And Lord, I just thank you for the support staff that makes things run so efficiently. I thank you for these clerks that I see, these secretaries, the technicians, all these people, Father, that work behind the scenes, that have great attitudes, that make things run so smoothly. They make it look like President Ross actually knows what he's doing. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless them as they plow through this budget process. Give them what they need to make it through to the end. And Lord, we just want you to know that we're grateful. We pray in your son's name. Amen.
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 Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was good. Reading, correction, approval of the journal. The reading clerk will read the journal committee report.
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 17th, 2014 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jim L. Anderson, Chairman.
You heard the reading of the report. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report is adopted. The doctor for the day is Dr. Tom Radosevich from Casper. Welcome, sir. Thank you for serving the Senate today. And the nurse of the day is Victoria Pike from Cheyenne and the Board of Nursing. Today in Wyoming history, 1911, Wyoming Governor Carey approved an apportionment act providing each organized county representation in the Wyoming State Legislature. Thought for the day, insanity is doing the same thing in the same way and expecting a different outcome. Members of the Senate, today we have a special treat. Joining us this morning is University of Wyoming's new head football coach, Craig Bohl. Coach Bohl was hired as the 32nd head coach at the University of Wyoming on December 8th. Prior to coming to Laramie, Coach Bohl was a head coach at North Dakota State in Fargo, where during his time he won three consecutive national championships. Three. We're expecting the same results. Please help me in welcoming Coach Bohl to the Senate.
Mr. President, it's a privilege of the floor.
You may.
Thank you. It's great to be here. In the short amount of time that I've been in our state, when people say welcome to Wyoming, they mean it. and it has really been a pleasure for me. You know, my background grew up in the state of Nebraska and went to school there, and then was spent 11 years at North Dakota State. So being a flatlander from North Dakota and Nebraska, I thought it'd be important to get to know our state a little bit. So this past weekend, I hopped in my truck and went up to Buffalo and spent some time with Joe Tiller, who was one of our former football coaches. It was a great experience. Spent the night in Sheridan. It was a beautiful place. Went over the mountains, came down. I was going to swing by Senator Case's place, but I thought it'd be too far out of the way. But I meandered through our state, and it was a great experience. A couple things that I've noticed about our state. First of all, if you don't like the weather, it's going to change within an hour, so don't worry about that. If the wind would ever quit blowing, I think half our citizens would fall down. You've all gotten used to that. And three, that is a lot of driving. And the efforts by the people in this room to come a great distance to serve our state is certainly noted and appreciated. You know, for me, I recognize this body didn't choose me to be your head football coach. There's a whole group of football players at the University of Wyoming that did not choose our staff and the body of work that we had done. The facts of the matter are, we chose you. I chose this state and this football program because there's greatness here. There is greatness here within our state, within our institution. We can do a whole lot. And in the short time I've been here, I have been duly impressed. If you look on top of my head, there's not a lot of hair there. I've gone a lot of different places and served in all kinds of institutions around our country, whether at the University of Nebraska, the University of Wisconsin, two large land-grant institutions, Duke University, Rice University. Our university is a special place. I've been impressed by the efforts by the men and women in this room, in the House, by the investment that you have made into education. It shows. It shows in the infrastructure on campus, not only the infrastructure in the buildings, but the people, and how you've invested in our students in our state with the Hathaway Scholarship and many more instruments to allow young men and women to come to the University of Wyoming and matriculate. It's my charge in my role as a head football coach to make sure that, you know, our football program is a program that our state is going to be proud of, that there are going to be young men that come, leave as men, have a meaningful degree, graduate, go on to become great husbands, great fathers, and make a difference. Along the way, it's imperative that we have a football team you can be proud of, too, with competitive excellence. It's a daunting task. College football is a very competitive field. But we can make a difference here. You know, as I travel around our state, what is so unique is we have one four-year institution. That is unique. And the pride all across our state is unparalleled. I saw little Cowboy Joe stickers all across, whether it was in Sheridan or Worland or all these different communities. And I drove through these small towns, and I saw our colors, brown and gold, all across our state. And so, the chances for us to continue to do greatness are here. This is why I came to be your head football coach. I recognize I'm a small part, and we're a small part of this great state, but there's greatness here, and I think the sky's the limit. So thanks so much, and go Pokes.
Hey. Coach Bull, we thank you for traveling over from Laramie this morning to join us. We wish you the best of luck this fall. Same to you. Athletic Director Berman is in the back. We appreciate all that you do for us. Also joining us in the gallery, if I may, is former Representative Jimmy Slater, who served in the House from 2001 to 2008. And has always been an active member of Cowboy Joe Club. Please help me in welcoming former Representative Jim Slater to the Senate. Senator Burns. You may.
Mr. President, just to add to the resume of Jim Slater, he is the representative who introduced the University of Wyoming license plate, and he's the one that ushered that through, probably more lasting effect than any of us who served with him at the time.
Jim, good to see you, sir. Any other privileges? None? Okay. Reports from standing committees.
February the 17th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 86, Obstructing Roads and Highways, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Cooper, Escobel, Landon, Schiffer, Von Flatiron, Senator Von Flatiron, Chairman. February the 18th, 2014, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 30, Compensation for Persons Exonerated Based on DNA Evidence. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebau, Dockstader, Hastert, Meyer, and Perkins, Senator... What did I say? Committee number 2, Appropriations, did this fine work. Senator Bebau, Chairman. February the 17th, 2014, Mr. President, Committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 101, License Plate Vehicle Indicator, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Cooper, Escobel, Landon, Schiffer, Von Flatiron, Senator Von Flatiron, Chairman.
Bill's on second reading. Senate File 4, second reading of the Senate file.
School Finance Local Resources.
Senate File 4 have been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 5, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 5, Teachers National Certification Pay Incentive.
Senate File 5 have been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 63, second reading of the Senate File.
Sexual Assault Protection Orders.
We have some amendments. Reading clerk will read in second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 63.
Senate File 63, second reading amendment number 1, page 8, line 13.
Senator Perkins, wherever he is. Senator Perkins, we are have just read in.
Thank you.
Second reading amendment number 1.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 63, excuse me, and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. Chairman, what this does is goes in and tries to do a couple things. My bill has disappeared. Anyway, What you do is you go in here and try to make a little bit of assistance with this. Trying to temper a little bit. If you go to page 8, line 13, and look at what we're doing, we're in here and we're trying to remove some lines here, and just ultimately there's the last couple lines there. There's already the ex parte stuff's already in here. It's going to come later. We don't need to say it's here. So let's just shorten this up a little bit because the court can issue ex parte orders a little bit later on in the section. So you don't need to say it here because it's available and it's known just a little bit later on. If you go to page 9, lines 21, I visited with the sponsor of the bill. There's some real concern as you go to the bottom of page 9. Start on line 21 and going over to the top of page 10. We're telling the judge what they can and can't consider, and so I originally had some language in here saying the judge could consider certain things, and ultimately what this amendment would do is just drop that out after the word law enforcement on line 21 and get rid of that, so the court consider whatever it feels is appropriate to consider. Then the next thing we do after that is we're going down and on page 10. We're adding a new thing here. As we're talking about, this is the issuing of a sexual assault protection order. The court may include any one or more of the following provisions. So there on the amendments, you see the Romanet 3 starts on line 15 of the amendment and adds this, that notwithstanding paragraph 2, which is saying that they can't be in the place of employment, which is what we're trying to deal with, that if petitioner or respondent are employed at the same location or attend the same school, providing conditions or restrictions that will protect the petitioner while allowing them to respond to continue employment or attendance, if practical. Again, just trying there, looking, sometimes there can be different degrees with respect to the seriousness of these things. There may be different circumstances or areas where someone could continue their job, even if they have this restraining order in place. Or whether it's a student and a teacher or two students or two co-employees to provide some of that. So then we're remembering there. Then if you go over to page 11, lines 23 and 24, we're just getting rid of all those things from in E there. We're just basically getting rid of E that the denial of the request under this act may not be based in whole or in part on evidence that, and then we're just calling those things out. What we're trying to do is just leave the judge with his common sense and his experience, and depending upon the circumstances, determine whether or not this restraining order or this protective order should be issued. So that takes care of that. If we go over to page 12, we're trying to do on the monetary damages, the court, what we're trying to do here is the court has the ability to assess the petitioner the costs of pursuing the order under reasonable attorney's fees. What we're trying to do is also then add a new one there that if a petitioner comes with a false or frivolous claim, Mr. President, that if the judge finds that that's false or frivolous or unfounded, that they could actually assess those costs and the attorney's fees back against the petitioner for bringing a false or frivolous claim against the respondent. And so that's what the amendment does. Again, what we're trying to do is address some issues with respect to making this a little bit more worker-friendly, I guess, if you will, and also trying to find that balance between individuals that may recognize there can be differences in situations, and recognizing the trying to give a person the ability to continue to work even if they become subject to one of these protective orders. With that, I stand for questions and would ask for the body's favorable consideration.
Discussion. Hearing none, are you ready for the question on the amendment? Question's been called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1, the Senate File 63, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. We have another amendment. Second reading amendment number 2, the Senate File 63. The reading clerk will read it in.
Senate File 63, second reading amendment number 2, page 16, line 23.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 63 and also ask the body's consideration. Mr. President, I mean, this could have all been one amendment, but it was quite lengthy, so I broke it up so that we could take it in parts. Again, the object is to try and find a little balance as this thing moves forward. So if the first thing we did, if you go to page 16 on line 23, we're deleting those lines because ultimately, as you go through my experience in these things, although limited it is that judges always make these restrictions and limitations. And so some of these things, we just don't have to tell the judges what to do because they do them as a matter of course anyway. And so that's what we're doing mostly on page 16 and on lines 17 through, on page 17, lines 1 through 11. We're allowing the judge. My experience is that most of those things are covered in those types of orders when the judge does these things. So if it gets us next, that gets us to page 19. After there, one of the concerns I've always had about this bill, Mr. President, I'm trying to address a little bit here, is that one of these things, even though this is a civil action, Mr. President, one of the things that concerns me is that you have a person who now is being accused of criminal activity, and ultimately, if he defends himself, he has to give up his right to remain silent if he's going to defend himself in these things. And so while this particular amendment doesn't fix that necessarily, what we're trying to do is at least make sure that in a criminal action, the fact that this order was issued does not admissible in a criminal action as any kind of evidence in a criminal action. So it would not be admissible in a criminal action or in the civil action if there's a civil action for damages. So it pulls it out of that. Then on page 20, just looking, what they have is that the court can only look at reasonably specific information as to time, date, or place, or some combination of those things. What we're trying to do is just say there may be other specific information, Mr. President, besides just date, time, and place. So if the judge finds that there's specific information about, and what we're talking about here is bringing in prior sexual conduct into the cross-examination or into the hearing to determine whether, generally it's going to be in the nature of whether it was consensual or not, as opposed to sexual assault. And so it just allows the judge to look at other specific information besides just those three things, if the judge thinks it's important. So that's what it does, is it brings that in. And then as we go down and drop down, we're striking out some lines there. Ultimately, those things are covered by the rules of evidence, Mr. Chairman. To be admissible, evidence always has to be relevant. And even if it is relevant, the relevance still always has to meet the probative nature of it, always has to overcome the prejudicial nature of the evidence. So those things are always taken into consideration. Don't need to be repeated in this bill. And so, and also making sure, since it talks about admissible at trial, these are hearings, and so we want this type of evidence to be admissible of the type that would be admissible at a trial. So we're making sure that this is the type of evidence that would be admissible at a trial, which is going to exclude hearsay or other things that may be less relevant or not as probative. And so just trying to, again, try to bring some balance back to this thing so that if it does pass, Mr. President, that it has a little bit more balance in it, recognizing that, Mr. President, it comes down to this, that ultimately if these things were never abused and there was never frivolous or false claims made, you wouldn't need this. But our life experience and what we see is, Mr. President, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes individuals can be accused of these things, and ultimately, even though it's not criminal, the life can be over. I mean, put yourself in the position, Mr. President, of a teacher who's accused by a student, and if it's a true accusation, I don't have much sympathy. But if it's a false accusation because of some other personal reason, that career is probably ended, regardless of whether or not this is granted. And so these things are very serious, and we need to have some balance as we move forward. And with that, I ask for your favorable consideration on this amendment as well.
Discussion on amendment number 2. Hearing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 63, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Further discussion on the bill? Hearing none. Senate File 63 having been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 64, second reading of the Senate file.
Public health nursing.
Senate File 64, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 685, second reading of the Senate file. Senator Hicks, before we do that.
Mr. President, and I would ask that Senate File 85 be re-referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals.
Without objection, Senate File 85 will be re-referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. So you don't need to read it, Mr. Reading Clerk.
You want me to read it in?
No. Just re-referred.
Okay.
Okay. Moving right along. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business, consideration of bills on third reading and final passage. Do you have a consent list?
We do have a consent list.
Senator Case,
before he goes through the trouble of the consent list, I would ask that Senate File 72, Burglary, be laid back for one more day for third reading if there's no objection.
Without objection, Senate File 72 will be laid back for one day. Just a moment. Let me get your mic on.
Senate File 3, School Facilities Collaborative Committee Process. Senate File 16, Insurance Guarantee Association Model Act. Senate File 33, County Board of Equalization, -2. Senate File 42, Electrical Licensing and Installation of Light Bulbs. That one gets my giggles every time. Senate File 45, Game and Fish Department General Fund Budget Request. Senate File 48, Cultural Trust Board Membership. Senate File 56, State Engineers Fees. Senate File 57, Reduction of Boards and Commissions. Senate File 58, National Guard Service Governor's Authority. Senate File 70, State Appropriations Lapsing of Funds. Senate File 78, the Jason Flatt Act 2. Senate File 81, Employer Access to Social Media Accounts. Senate File 84, Child Support Payment. And Senate File 103, State Buildings Construction.
Would any member of the Senate like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Hearing none.
Mr. President.
Senator Bebout.
Senate File 45.
Senate File 45. It's been removed from the consent list. Any others? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 3. Senate File 16, Senate File 33, Senate File 42, Senate File 48, Senate File 56, Senate File 57, Senate File 58, Senate File 70, Senate File 78, Senate File 81, Senate File 84, and Senate File 103. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas. Nutting, Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 3, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 3, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 16, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 16, 30 ayes. Senate File 33, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 33, 30 ayes. Senate File 42, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 42, 30 ayes. Senate File 48, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 48, 30 ayes. Senate File 56, are there any changes? Schiffer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 56, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 57, are there any changes? Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 57, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 58, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Geis, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Anderson District 28, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 58, 25 ayes, 5 noes. Senate File 70, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 70, 30 ayes. Senate File 78, are there any changes? Burns, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 78, 28 ayes, 2 noes. Senate File 81, are there any changes? Meyer, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 81, 28 ayes, 2 noes. Senate File 84, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 84, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 103, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 103, 27 ayes, 3 noes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, the following Senate files have passed the Senate. Senate File 3, School Facilities, Collaborative Committee Process. Senate File 16, Insurance, Guarantee Association, Model Act. Senate File 33, County Board of Equalization 2. Senate File 42, Electrical Licensing, Installation of Light Bulbs. Senate File 48, Cultural Trust Fund Board Membership. Senate File 56, State Engineer Fees. Senate File 57, Reduction of Boards and Commissions. Senate File 58, National Guard Service, Governor's Authority. Senate File 70, State Appropriations, Lapsing of Funds. Senate File 78, Jason Flatt Act 2. Senate File 81, Employer Access to Social Media Accounts. Senate File 84, Child Support Payment. And Senate File 103, State Buildings Construction, have passed the Senate. Senate File 45, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 45, sponsored by the Travel Committee, Game and Fish Department, General Fund Budgets Request, and Act Relating to Game and Fish, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Member of the Senate, I asked this to be pulled off the list because I just think we should talk about it a little bit more. And I'm sure most of you have already made up your mind on what you want to do and how you want to vote on this, but Once again, I want to talk about, we've had a policy in effect for many, 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 many years for our game and fish, and that is when they come through to the legislature and the way they increase their revenues is through the licensure fee process. And for whatever reason, the last couple of years, they've not been successful at that, and that tells me that there are concerns out there by a lot of our constituents that express that concern through their elected officials in the House that the game and fish is not ready for a fee increase. And yet we have a bill here now that more or less does an end run on that. And, you know, the process has been a process that's worked. You know, the last couple of years, you could argue that they don't have enough money and all those things, but the process, you got to talk about the process. And I really worry about the precedent we're setting by such a major shift in policy. You know, one of the great things about Wyoming, and we have a wonderful resource called our Wyoming Wildlife and the Game and Fish Commission and Department that takes care of that, is that we've been able to keep that autonomous, and we don't debate in this floor or this body, the legislature, a lot of things that commission should make decisions on. But the more money we give them, the more we're involved in that, the more we're going to require and request that we have a finger or have a say in what they do. And this is a big step in that direction. You know, you could talk about the amount of money, and it's, I think we figured it out, it's about $10 million for a biennial budget. You throw in the grizzly bear, that's another $4 million, so it's $14 million more dollars to the general fund. We already spend about $12 million of general fund money to help the game and fish, and we're involved imminently in those kind of discussions on how that money's spent. You start doing this, we're going to be involved more and more in those kind of decisions that should be made by the commission. And the other thing, Mr. President, just to think about, where do you say no? If you start this with here, you have other agencies out there that you have the same situation. If you say yes to the game and fish for all your reasons, then what are you going to say to YDOT when they come back and make the argument that we want to put more money in our highways and we're going to ask you to do the same thing? So let's just think about what we're doing here. And I understand it's just that they shall prepare a separate budget. I understand that. It still goes to the JAC. And it still does all of that and comes back through this process, but I would just ask you to be cautious when we move in this direction.
Further discussion? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, if we indeed, if Game and Fish was indeed autonomous and entirely independent from us, we would give them the authority to raise their own license fees when they need it. We don't do that. We control, the legislature controls the license fees. So when their expenses go up, they have no other way to cover that. When their health care costs go up through actions by this legislature, they have no other way to cover it. And that's what's been happening over the last 6 years. Same thing for the salary for employees. They have to follow through when we go to salary increases. And that includes increases going to the pension fund. They have to absorb that. They have no way of getting that money, except for a few members of a few employees of DOT. Any other agency in the state, when we do any of those actions, they come back to us the next year and make it part of their standard budget. Game and Fish cannot do that. As far as the $12 million that the Vice President mentioned that we already give them, that is for management of endangered and sensitive species that we have put on them, responsibilities we have put on them, such as the wolf, the aquatic invasive species, black-footed ferret, things like that. There was nowhere else to go with that responsibility. They were the natural ones. So we said, okay, if we're going to give you this responsibility, of which you make no money out of, okay, we will also pay for you to do that. So if we're going to keep them, if we're going to make them independent, make them independent. Right now, they manage wildlife under what's called the North American model. It's not universally, but it's well respected. Game and Fish is well respected around the nation. And when you talk about the entrance of politics into this, that's what's happening elsewhere. In the refusal to increase their license fees, the refusal to let them increase their license fees is to try to get them off the North American model. That's the agenda here. And to privatize certain aspects of what Game and Fish does. Game and Fish has done a great job for the last 60 years I'd say 70 years, actually. Let them continue to do that job, but give them the resources to do it.
Further discussion? Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, when we look at the information or the model that they've presented to us on their funding, it shows, well, we've had an incline, and some of it's due to the gun sales, Pittman Roberts, and so forth. Things have been okay, and it's still okay today. But the forecasts are that by fiscal year 19, based on these trends continuing, we're going to be in serious trouble. We're not going to be in trouble today or tomorrow, but it's not. This problem isn't going to go away. We've struggled with trying to find a long-term solution that respects game and fish and their mission. If we don't deal with this today, we'll be back in 2 years. We'll be back. It'll be another interim topic, and we'll have to go for it. And we don't know quite what the best solution is, but this is certainly a solution that offers some potential.
Further discussion? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the bill. If you want to bring an agency in to begin paying their ordinary expenses that you have no control over, then the advocates here ought to ask to bring it into the general fund. The committee, the oversight committee, could any time say it's not working. This agency should be a general funded agency, and then we'll look at it and scrutinize them as we do all other agencies. And we'll look at the number of wildlife biologists they have, how many biologists they are, what they're doing. We'll look at the number of trucks they have, how many trucks are out there. We'll look at whether they ought to have more, maybe more patrolling and game wardens and less biologists. But begin to look at the task and the scope of work they're doing. In this instance, what's happening, though, is they're saying, look, we want to be regulated by the sportsmen and the fishermen in terms of where we assign our tasks. We want to be able to have as many biologists as we want. We want to allocate the differences between biologists and the wardens. We want to do all that decision-making, but when we break the bank, we want you to fill up the balloon. And that's just bad budgeting. Now, it's fair enough, as we talked about, where we impose new programs. And a lot of the times, by the way, we're not imposing new programs. Game and Fish came and said, we want to manage these other species. Our biologists want to be out there. It's pretty cool stuff. We need helicopters. We need to do all that. And when they take on the task, they said, we can manage it. Now, there's a lot of effort that they can do to change the task. There's a lot of habitat remediation, work with federal agencies to create more habitat, lots that can be done to increase our game numbers that they have control over. I mean, go look at the average mining permit that goes out there and look at the biologist comments where they're saying, look, we don't want to have these tasks. We don't want to do this. They have great impact on our lives, but we have no control over it. But once we get there and they decide that they've spent too much, they come back to us, even though they can control all of these events that lead to their budgets. And there, finally, with respect to the sportsmen, if you say to the people driving the highways, you don't have to pay for the highways. They'll say, well, my gas tax are just not great. I'd like somebody else to pay for it. I like the mineral industry paying for it. The people that are enjoying this are paying a fee. Frankly, the fee they're paying is low. And we ought to have the courage to, if they want to have that service, they ought to be willing to pay for more services. But I get, and I know you've gotten the same emails saying, you know, we're not getting the service out of this group of people. We don't want to see their fees increased. And that's their way of saying, you need to be more attentive to us. And the response is that Game and Fish said, well, we'd rather be more attentive to the needs of the sportsmen in the states. We're going to go to the legislature and ask for more money. You know, that's fair enough. We want to make them a general funded agency. Let's make them a general funded agency. and they'll spawn and fold to their budget. But to make them a hybrid where they don't answer to anybody except for when they need money, they come back to us, that's not a system that's sustainable.
Senator Schiffer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. There's been a lot of talk that we have no control over this agency. As a matter of fact, we do. Particularly this body has a great deal of control. The commissioners are appointed by the governor. They've got to be confirmed right here, right here. We're the ones that vote them up or down. We as the Senate, have more control over game and fish policy than any other entity in the state. Second thing, if you really want to look at their budget, and I hear about the pickups. I don't know why there's a fixation in wildlife critiques about pickups. You know, but there seems to be, and it's a worthwhile thing to be fixated on. But if you really want to influence the game and fish budget, they hold a hearing, and you can go. I've been to one of them, and what I found is they were very, very attentive. They are interested in what we are thinking. They advertise it. The one I attended was in Natrona County, easy to get to. Lots of parking, all that stuff. But the thing is, if you want to take an active role in game management, we can do it, and particularly this body can do it. Second thing, there is an aversion to getting we, the legislature, too involved in the day-to-day operations of the game and fish. And probably the biggest example of that is the struggles we went through during wolf introduction. That was a very divisive issue. That was an issue that in great part, interests outside this state. I mean, they had scientists and they had folks that worked for a federal agency and all that stuff that we're going to dictate. And the reason we were able to particularly the word predator, to get it into our plan because of the credibility of our game and fish. And in fairness to them, they could have folded, and they didn't. They stuck right with us when we went to Utah and negotiated. When we negotiated downstairs, we had game and fish saying, they can be a predator, we can manage them, we'll concede what we got to do in that portion of the state. And whether you like the plan we got or not, it is a better management plan than the ones that our neighbor to the north had to swallow and our neighbor to the west had to swallow. It is a much better plan. And we did that because of the expertise, but also the independence of our Game and Fish Commission. And as far as I'm concerned, we should cherish that independence when it comes to, and it's the biologists that did that and figured out how many wolves we could kill or not kill or where we could kill them. But they also had the facts and the figures to back us up. And when Fish and Wildlife came in from Washington, D.C., we could show them. And that's how we held our ground and came out with probably, to my knowledge, the best wolf management plan in the lower 48 states. It's often we reach a balance. Third point that our respected leader mentioned. We reach that sort of balance, particularly with WIDOT. We have at times sent general fund money. At times they've got federal money. We raise some taxes. We have blended budgets. That's not a foreign critter to us. We manage them appropriately. We understand the value of independence of certain departments, certain agencies are more valuable being relatively independent, such as WIDOT, such as Game and Fish. This isn't any new critter. And they're doing a good job, we can adjust to that. It's the beauty of our system. It's very flexible, and we can make it work, and we have made it work. I urge you to pass this bill. It is a good bill.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, members of the Senate, I fully support the comments made by our good senator from Sheridan and I have, the concerns. I mean, we had Game and Fish before JAC. You know, they talked about the fact that employees are in line with the Hay study. They can't give raises unless we authorize pay raises for state employees and all of that. We do have the control. And then on the the political side, there's an organization running around here that is after our game and fish, and they say they go around asking sportsmen if they support the fee increase. And it all depends on how you ask the question, what answer you can get. You can ask, do you support the fee increase for game and fish if to waste your money? And of course, people would say no. But I've asked people and explained the advantages of, and they support that. I attend national conventions and meet with some of the legislators from the state over to the west and the state to the south. And you've talked to them, and they're some of what's happening, especially in the state and the west. Talked to a particular legislator that discussed exactly what is happening down there and how they've lost hunting privileges and hunting areas and trophy areas that were open to the public then are no longer open. So there is a lot of politics being played. I can go to the south and shoot a huge trophy elk. It cost me $6,000, which money I don't have that. But there is a lot of concerns about what is happening out here, and I think we have more control over the game and fish than what you might think, and I support the bill.
Okay, we'll go to Senator Driscoll and then Senator Anderson, 28.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sat and listened to everything, and it's really interesting. I encourage you all to pick the bill up and read it. We're talking about control. It's got it in there. It goes back to appropriations. Every year they've got the means to turn this down. We kept the control in this, the way this bill's written. They submit a budget. They come to appropriations. The year that we give them the license fee increase or allow them to survive, we've got every means in the world to look them in the eye and say no. We're big boys. Back when YDOT comes in with all their guys, I'm going to be the guy on the floor saying we can't do that and we won't do it. But we've not given them a means to do it. And I'm going to tell you, you talk about what they've done. This agency's been up front. I sit on their committee. They've come to us. They came 4 years ago when I came. They showed us what was happening with their funding. And they said, we see what's coming. We need to address it. Help us do it. And we did. We wrote some bills. We've done some things. For good or bad, whether there's some concerns on the other side, it's our duty to make state government run the way it's supposed to run. And if the other side's not getting it done, now we're starting to act a lot like a big brother. Kind of like it's happened on a federal level. One side blocks it, and the other side takes cover because of what the other side's done. That's not what our job is. Our job is to make sure our agencies are run correctly. And we have a duty to do that. We've left a piece in there when they come back to appropriations. If they've got funding from somewhere else, if they happen to hit the lottery, we can say, no, we're not giving it back to you anymore. This gives us a lot of backup room. The other thing we can do, I've come here many times, we can repeal this statute 2 years from now. If you don't like it and we've got funding somewhere, we can pull it back off. That's the beauty of this body. So, I really encourage you not to get this agency in a point where we've done some damage that we really can't undo. And these guys have done much more than the 8% cuts that were mandated. These guys got serious cuts, and we caused them. They didn't cause them themselves. Sportsmen didn't cause them. And the game and fish in Wyoming did not cause it. So I really encourage you to go ahead. Let's get it taken care of. If we got problems next year, let's come back next year and deal with it. But let's not put this thing on where we're going to sink a boat over this. I encourage you to support it.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, on and for the Senate File 45, this agency needs some more help. It's a world-class agency. We have world-class wildlife. We need to make sure we don't defund them as much as they're suffering. I agree with the great senator from Black's Fork and the other senator from Sussex on the Powder that we need to pass this bill.
Further discussion, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the bill.
You know, no, this isn't about whether the Game and Fish does a good job, Mr. President. The Game and Fish does an excellent job. This isn't about whether the Game and Fish does things that we ask, don't do things we ask them to do, or don't take on the responsibilities they do. Do we have an obligation when we ask them to do something to pay for it? Yes, we do. We do that. We've done it in the past. $12 million. In this particular bill, there's another $1.9 million per year for grizzly bear. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is taking the insurance, which, quite frankly, is tough. Anybody who is in the business of paying for their own premiums knows the unpredictability and the continued escalation related to insurance costs. Everybody knows that. But I can tell you that when we come back and you say that we're not taking care of this agency or we're not giving them enough money, we have many, many outstanding agencies. And when you come back, every one of those agencies can come back and they tell you we can do a better job. We can do more if you'll help us more, if you'll give us more money so we can pay this cost, or we can hire that expert, or we can, if you'll free us up here so we have more money to spend over here. Every one of those agencies can do a good job. If you go down and you look in the pathway down here, we're talking about developmental disabilities, a great panel there. I don't know if you stopped and read some of those stories. There's another place that can we spend enough money to fix all of that? Well, I guess we could, but at the same time, maybe we should, instead of doing the $4 million a year for the agency, we could apply it to acquired brain injury or developmental disabilities and relieve that suffering. But what we have to do in here is we have to strike a balance. And I can tell you that as we go through the budget, that we'll do what you did yesterday and will more today. Department of Corrections, Department of Health, Department of Family Services, all of those can do a better job if we give them more money. Can they do a better mission? Can they make it all work better? Absolutely. But you know what? There just isn't enough to do that for everybody. We have to pull in and we have to maintain what the budget is. And what we're doing now is we're saying, okay, we'll take all of your inconsistencies and all the problems that Game and Fish Commission is going to have with their uncertainties in health care, and you don't have to worry about that anymore. We'll take care of that for you. And you can say, well, you can take it away next year. Yeah, you try and take it away next year. We know how that works. You come down, once you give something to somebody, you try and take it back, and we'll see how well that works. If your life experience hasn't taught you how that works yet, then you need to wake up a little bit more because it's out there. You know, think about what you're doing here. You can fix this grizzly bear thing. You can amend the budget. There's still ways to make sure they get what they need for the grizzly bear. But this is the wrong way to go about helping this agency with our general operating revenues.
Further discussion. Senator Barnard.
Mr. Chairman, we've heard some great arguments for and against this. We've heard that the North American model is what this is patterned on. And the problem is the North American model now is not working for the Game and Fish. It relies on the sales of licenses, and the sales of licenses has decreased over the years. These people are in a catch-22 position. We've asked them to make sacrifices. They've done it. I've seen the sacrifice they've done. They've cut their programs. They've cut employees. Every time we've asked them to do something on the TRW, they have been very, very compliant. But the process that our vice president has talked about, the process is what the problem is. The process doesn't work now, because one of the reasons it doesn't work is because there are more non-consumptive users of the Game and Fish people's product. There's people out there who use what they do. They don't pay for it. They don't buy licenses, but they consume the efforts of the Game and Fish. This is going up. There's also a number of less hunters that are buying licenses as the time goes on. So I agree with the good senator from Natrona County and all that's been said about increasing the budget. But this process isn't working, and this agency is going to suffer from it. It's just going to get worse and worse until we do something. If we don't do something now and vote for it this year, please do something next year. Thank you.
Senator Meyer.
I just want to put this in perspective as far as what we have been doing. So if this bill does fail, you can walk away and say to yourself, well, we have been doing something. And to put it in perspective, the 11-12 budget, we had $7,840,000 of general funds. This budget, it's $11,206,000. So from 11-12 till today, we've increased that, you know, almost $4 million in general fund appropriations going to the game and fish. We're not standing still, ladies and gentlemen. We are moving forward. We are looking at the problems. We're making sure that those areas are funded. So I guess vote it up or vote it down, but realize that we have put money into this. As far as the discussion earlier about the DOT is the only agency that does this, we have any increases in salaries. Workforce Services does too. It's another federally funded agency. That any agency, even if it's health, if they've got federal positions with any state agency, if they're going to fund something, they have to do it by attrition or by letting those employees go or doing something there so they can get some money in the federal pool to raise those salaries. It's nothing new. Across all other agencies, they're all treated the same.
Further discussion? Senator Driscoll, for your second
Chairman,
time.
For the second and last time, forever hold my peace. Maybe.
There you go.
I'd like to do just a couple points of clarification of the way the debate's gone on. The extra money that comes out of the general fund, it's all money we told them to spend. That's a lot of it's aquatic invasive. I played a part of that. It wasn't programs that came to us and said, please give us money for. It's programs we said, here are programs, you spend it for us. We want this program. And I've been a part of that. So for that part of it, that's a wash. That's not money they came and asked for anything else. The other thing is I've been sitting going through their budget there. You know, they don't ask for much for exception requests. They've been pretty upfront about it. These guys run it straight up the way they've done it. As far as talking about other agencies and how they come about their money, they all come to appropriations every year to ask for all their money, and they all come every single year. That's how they get money, is they come and say, I need more in my budget or I can do with less. Game and Fish is cut, I believe, and I hate to be misquoted, but the employees is in the double digits, pretty high double digits. They've taken out by themselves. They had to do as this has gone along. And for them, they have no way to come back and say, we need more money. And they all knew if they came to appropriation, said, I need a $20 million general appropriation, or I need a $10, they're not going to get it, guys. I've watched how we run. They're not going to get it. We're not going to run a budget footnote tomorrow that says we're going to give them $10 or $15 million. Not going to happen. So think about your conscience where you're at, because you can take cover and say this is not processed, not the way it's done, but our job is to make sure that this agency's funded it to a reasonable level. And I do got the guts when it comes time. I'm going to tell you what, I know how to say no. And if they come back, if I'm sitting in one of these committees, or I'm sitting on the floor, what God giveth, God can take away.
Senator Burns, for your second time.
Second time, Mr. President. Mr. President, to address a few of these things, and I don't want the body to, in its own mind, mix apples and oranges. We have funded Game and Fish for those, specifically for those jobs that we put on them for managing sensitive and endangered species. We didn't do that because Game and Fish came to us and said, hey, we'd like to do this. We had them do this for our own good and for the protection of our other industries, such as the mineral industry, for the sage grouse. If sage grouse gets listed, think what's going to happen to our mineral industry, to our wells and our mines. If aquatic invasive species gets out of hand, even comes into the state and gets out of hand, I'll tell you right now that the city, Havasu City, Arizona, spends over $18 million per year on their water treatment plant just to remediate the quagga mussels and zebra mussels they have. We're doing this, and we're giving them this money for their own good, for our own good, rather, not for their good. They're the agency that we asked to do this, and that is where the general fund money goes. For the traditional jobs of Game and Fish, they are funded through license fees. We retain control of those license fees. Even though we increased state employees' salaries in 2009, and we're going to increase them again this year, and we're not giving them a license fee increase to cover that. We didn't do it in 2009. We haven't given them a license fee increase since 2008. So it's not only salaries, it's also health care, it's also pension. And the reason we chose health care to go in is because that's the one thing that does not interfere in any way with the job they do. We want to keep ourselves out of this. We want to keep politics out of the job they do, and they do a good job.
Any further discussion? Chief Clerk will call the roll. Question is, shall Senate File 45 pass the Senate?
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll? Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Ross?
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 17 ayes, 13 noes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 45 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate resolve itself back into Committee of the Whole for the purpose of considering only Senate File Number 1.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion is carried. Senator Cooper.
Breakout into a misdemeanor. You're trying to carve out of a felony, which you can't do because you could never offer a strike. Now, if you go to the next statute, it's criminal entry without authority enters, but there's no theft component in it. So what I think is you go into the misdemeanor, change the section, and then go in and say...
Well, after that jolly discussion, we're ready to start anew.
Will
Committee of the Whole please come to order? Reading clerk will read the Senate file. All right.
Senate File 1, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, General Government Appropriations 2, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1st, 2014.
Ask the staff whether they think this is...
Mr. Vice President, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we left off yesterday, member of the Senate, with Section 067, the University of Wyoming. The next one is I move Section 69, Wichee, yield to my colleague from Goshen County.
So what you ought to do is go
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me get to the right sheet here. I'll be right with you. Okay, Mr. Chairman. Essentially, there hasn't been a whole heck of a lot going in Wichee. Everything's pretty much stayed the same, I think. There's no footnotes. It's the same standard budget, $5,195,930. Stand for any questions. Call for the question.
Any further discussion on Section 69?
Question.
Okay, question. All those in favor of Senator Bebot's motion to adopt Section 69, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Section 69 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move Section 70, Enhanced Oil Recovery Commission. Mr. Chairman, standard budget, no increases. Call for the question.
Okay. No further discussion. All those in favor of Mr. Vice President's motion on Section 70 All those in favor of Senator Bebot's motion to adopt Section 70, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Section 70 has been adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 72, Retirement System. I yield to my colleague from Goshen County.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this is the retirement system. Basically, JAC's got a couple of footnotes there. One, we added some money for the retirement board to increase salaries of the executive director and the other investment officers. We felt that was prudent to do that to keep a good investment team at the retirement center. There's also some cleanup language here to get in the right funding sources here from the PF and the SR funds over to the P2 funds. It's just correct a fund billing code. On a note, we had a report the other day from the retirement center that at the current actuarial level, if we pass all the bills that are in front of us, which you'll see a bill from the from JAC come forward pretty soon here. We're in 30 years, we're going to be over 100% funded on all but one account, which is at 97. So we're moving in the right direction. I'd stand for any questions. If there are none, Mr. Chairman, I would call for the question.
Any further discussion on this section?
Question.
All those in favor of Senator Bebot's motion to adopt Section 72, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
Now we're moving on.
Section 72 has been adopted. The next section for our consideration is Section 80. You may have privilege of the floor, Senator Perkins.
Chairman, we have in the balcony up above the chairman, we have, I believe, some students from Kelly Walsh High School. And so, anyway, we'd like to welcome here. I'm a Kelly Walsh alumni, but I'm not your senator. This man here, Bill Lennon, is your senator, but I'm an alumni from Casper. So, anyway, if you join me in welcoming these folks, these I believe they're 10th graders from Kelly Walsh down here to see how it works, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Welcome to the Senate, Kelly Walsh.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bebot.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 77, Enterprise Technology Services, my colleague from Lincoln County.
Senator Dockstader.
Mr. Chairman. 77 Enterprise Technology Services essentially set out the budget for the unified network. First footnote limited the use of the unified network to public services associated with the legislature, judiciary, university, colleges, schools, and libraries. Not a part of that are the local governments, towns, counties, and hospitals, etc. They won't be a part of that unified network. However, in the second footnote is an advisory to purchase services from commercial carriers to help develop that unified network. And that's where the local governments and others would fit in. Footnote advises that, quote, Wyoming shall purchase services from commercial carriers to the fullest extent possible. And that's Enterprise Technology Services. Call for the question.
Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor of Senator Bebot's motion to adopt Section 77, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Section 77 has been adopted. Next,
Mr. Chairman.
80. Yes, Senator Bebot.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 80, Department of Corrections. You to my colleague from Natrona County.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Department of Corrections is a big budget, $300,555,000. and change. What we've got as you go through, starting with the governor's recommendations, the first thing we did is we adjusted, if you look where the JAC changes are, we adjusted just a technical correction of $5,212 just from one account to another, neither of which are general fund monies. The other thing we did is we denied a request that the governor had an exception request from the department and that the governor had approved of one principal licensed counselor position. The governor asked for, the department asked for two. The governor approved that quest and we gave one. This particular person is an addiction, will be an addiction counselor for incarcerated inmates. The next thing we did is we denied $400,000 of an $800,000 request for additional adult community corrections funding and added footnote number one. Overall, what we did is recognize that the amount might very well be $800,000, but we reduced it by 50%, asked them to report back and request additional funding in the second year of the biennium in the supplemental budget. We're trying to check and see how this is working and want to see if we're getting the money that we're spending on those. That's the idea behind that. We did the same thing. We also deducted there was a request for twice the amount of $217,500. We reduced that by half. The same thing on split sentencing program. Same thing. We recognized that that's what they needed, but we asked them to come back with a report and request for additional funding in the second year of the biennium. Again, we want to see if we're getting our bang for our buck in either the split sentencing and the adult community corrections programs. Next thing we did is we added a footnote number three requiring a report to the agency to reduce probation and post-prison recidivism rates. The idea behind that is we looked, particularly in these kind of the ones that are not, we have a great non-recidivism. The folks that go all the way through the prison programs, we have one of the lowest recidivism rates in the country, but we're having, in some cases, less than 55% less than 55% are successful. We're having a greater than 50% recidivism rate in some of those where we're letting them out early, either with partial supervision, either through split sentencing, adult community corrections. So we're asking for a program to find out what can we do better. Those rates ought to be above 50% if we're going to continue those programs. Next thing we did is, I believe at the Wyoming Conservation Honor Farm, they had asked for two generators for emergency backup systems. There's a long, involved story with all that, but ultimately they asked for two generators. We cut it in half to one of them. And if you want more on that, we can talk about that some more. The next thing we did is we want a report regarding the new mother-child program at the Women's Center in Lusk. That's a new program where mothers can bond with their infant children if the mothers are incarcerated for up to 18 months. It also provides for overnight stays with children and their mother at the center under a lot, obviously lots of supervision. So we're asking for one report back on that. That's a brand new program that's just starting this year. Another thing we did is denied a request for two additional positions for the Women's Center Programming Unit, which is the lessons and the programming that they teach to try and improve the lives of these women while they're incarcerated. However, what we did is we directed in footnote number five for the department to reclassify two vacant positions. They have many, many vacant positions. We asked them to reclassify two of the vacant positions for the purpose of staffing those at that women's program. So ultimately, they will have the positions that they need in the new Women's Center for the Mother-Child Program. Finally, the JAC we added back one position. For some reason in the budget, they had just subtracted one position somewhere, Mr. Chairman. We don't know why. They didn't mean to, and so we let them have a do-over, and this will be the do-over to put that position back. With that, we'd stand for questions on the budget. If there are no questions, we'll call for the question.
Any further questions on this section? Hearing none. Oops. Senator Anderson. Okay.
You know, we're all aware of the accolades that our Department of Corrections received in regard to their recidivism rate. They're well known nationally for their success in these programs. Question being, generally, are our costs of incarcerations close to other costs across the country on the average, or are we paying more and getting more, or are we paying less and getting more? Do you have any idea? regard to those cost comparisons nationally, generally?
Senator Perkins.
Chairman, I don't believe that we do. We'll find that and get that back to you here directly. What I can tell you is we do have great programs. We also have one of the highest incarceration rates in the country. So if we're talking about overall, it's probably lower because we don't have just our sparse population. But I'm assuming you want that like on a per prisoner basis. Okay, thank you,
Senator Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering in regard to the mother-child program, where do the fathers fit in this whole scheme of things, or do they? Thank you.
Senator Perkins, are you on to respond to that?
The fathers fit in, but we don't have a program. There's no program in the prison for infant babies to bond with their fathers. And there's no provision for overnight stays. Part of that is with the nature of the institutions that we have. The women's institution is just a dramatically different institution, both in the structure and how it goes about its mission than it does with the prisons that house their male counterparts. But the straight answer is. There are programs that there are visits with fathers. There are opportunities. There is encouragement by fathers. There's counseling. There's a significant number of counseling that goes for on reentry and during group and other things like that where they address those father issues and try and help these guys step up and be better fathers. But if you're asking whether there's any anticipation for a father-child program like a mother-child program, I don't believe that there is any that's in the works as far as I know.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bebot.
And Mr. Chairman, just one other thing for the information of the body. And you may recall during the last last general session with our supplemental budget bill where we had a situation where we had in Torrington, we had an extra 100 prisoners that we could move to Casper, then ultimately up to Riverton. And that shift has occurred. Because the concern and the talk has been about adding that next wing over at Torrington. So by making that shift of the prisoners and moving, rotating them to areas where they can be utilized, where we had under usage, we've been able to avoid that. I just want the body to know the way our prison population is increasing. You know, there'll be a discussion in the future, I'm not sure when, about more space at the Torrington facility.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just two other things that follow up on that, on our good chairman. The build-out, the estimated build-out of the wing that's built but not built, that was constructed, the shell was constructed at the minimum medium security prison in Torrington is about $15-16 million. That's the cheap part. Once you do that, then once you staff that, that's more like $20-25 million to staff that. So. We're looking at those things. The other thing I would also let people know is that the director of the Department of Corrections was actually the national corrections official of the year in the country for this year, and they do a good job over there. But I just thought I'd also let the body know that in addition to the recidivism rates, that there are directors also the outstanding correctional director in the country this year.
Call for the question.
Oh, I guess not.
In another venue, there's been discussion in regard to the condition of the facility in Rollins, soil conditions causing some issues, and I know that this is not the capital discussion part of the budget, but I just wonder if we will hear more about that in regard to the building commission and what's being done about this commission, those conditions, if in fact they're serious enough to merit attention.
Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is a Section 300 we're going to talk about it later, but since you brought it up real quick, like, there has been concern over there with some of the prison, the maximum security prison we have, and we all know what happened with the first one, and it was built in an area that shouldn't have been, and they had the bentonitic soil and those kind of conditions. With this particular instance, what we're having issues with is water, and we thought it might be an underground water flow, a shallow water flow, but it looks like it's water that's seeping down from the surface and causing issues.
So we're looking at that and some other things over there as well, but that's in Section 300.
Senator Geis.
I just wanted to make a comment. In 1975, we had 6 women prisoners, and they were housed in York, Nebraska. Look how far we have come since 1975.
That's something we can be proud of. Numbers have increased.
Any further discussion?
Question.
Okay. All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Section 80, say aye.
Aye.
All those who are opposed, say no. Section 80 has been adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 81, Board of Parole, my colleague from Natrona County.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Board of Parole came before us. They have their standard budget. The governor approved their standard budget, and there was no change to the governor's recommendations. If there's questions, we'll answer them. Other than that, we'd call for the question.
Question.
All those in favor of Senator Bebout's motion to adopt Section 81, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say no. Section 81 has been adopted. Next section. Oh, yes, Senator Burns.
I just have a question on Board of Parole. Seeing as there's was there any discussion, seeing that there's an ever-increasing or apparently ever-increasing number of prisoners, I would think that's putting a larger load on the Board of Parole. Was there any discussion that they may need more money down the line for travel or anything?
Senator Perkins.
That's always a possibility. We did have before, there's also a new, the existing director's also in the process of retiring. There's a new director that appeared before us. But look at that right now, that's always possible. One of the things that this body's done in the last couple of years, if you remember, is we've actually they've done some things in their policies that actually encourage parole to get away from the people, the issues where the inmates will just slam their sentences and then have to do parole through the Judiciary Committee and some others. There's been some good work done to provide both incentive, and the whole point is to get these guys out if they're behaving and if they have a good chance for success, and when they're out, that they also have, there's some follow-up. There's some follow-up care as far for their addictions. There's some follow-up monitoring as far as making sure that they're minding their P's and Q's. And so we're continuing to enhance that because ultimately it's much easier when people have paid their time, and if we think that they're ready to go back and to live a good law-abiding lives, that to get them out there and do that and reduce the strain on the system. But right now it seems to be appropriate. But we have, if you look at our prison growth and our population, it actually has leveled out significantly from where it was. So we were talking about building out those that new wing in the prison a couple of years ago, and we've been able to put that off. But it's actually slowed down a little bit. But it is still growing, and so ultimately all of these things will be, unfortunately, a growing industry most likely in the future, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 85, Wyoming Business Council. Members of the Senate, what we did here was...
Mr. Vice President? Okay, go ahead. I was just getting a little high sign from the clerk here, and sorry to interrupt you.
And Mr. Chairman, I believe we took a vote on that.
We did.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Once again, I move Section 85, Wyoming Business Council. Members of the Senate, what we did here is we added footnote 1 specifying up to $100,000 shall be spent to convene the stakeholders for the purpose of pursuing an interstate shipment of state-inspected meat program. Mr. Chairman, footnote 2 specified that one-half of the proceeds from the sale of any property purchased with grant funds, and this is through the Business Ready Community Program, be returned to the Business Ready Community Program at the state. Mr. Chairman, the third proposed amendment, we added footnote number 3, making $10 million general fund for the Business Ready Communities, and this is new money, extra money, would be one-time funding and be effective immediately. And, Mr. Chairman, there's a large project that's moving forward here in Laramie County. This was to ensure that the funding was available for that if the governor decided to move forward, and looks like they are. Number 4, Mr. Chairman, reduced the governor's letter, number 4, by $5 million. And this was for large business projects, and he asked for 15 in his governor's letter, and we reduced that to 10, took 5 away. Mr. Chairman, the last thing is we moved $4.1 million from the Community Facilities Program to the Business Ready Communities Program. When testimony we heard in the committee meeting was that with the rules that they have at the Wyoming Business Council, they could still utilize those funds if there was a community facilities program that they wanted to move forward with, but if there was also a business-ready community project and they thought they wanted to move it there, that they could spend it there, so it was flexibility. I call for the question.
Any further discussion? Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
You want to move up to your mic there, Senator Driscoll, a little bit? So
Mr. Vice President, I see no employees here, and I guess I just need to explain to me how they got zero employees. I'm not sure.
Okay. Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the way it's always been. You know, they're kind of an autonomous, but yet a quasi-governmental agency where they show none there, and we give them the money and kind of a block grant. They hire their people, and they work for the business council. It's been set up that way forever.
Any further discussion or questions? Okay. Call for the question.
Question.
Okay. All those in favor of Vice President Bebop's motion to adopt Section 85, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no. Okay. Section 85 has been adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 101, Supreme Court, my colleague from Natrona County.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Supreme Court comes in, and of course, the Supreme Court is not a separate branch, a constitutional branch of government, so they have a governor's rec, but technically it's the Chief Justice's rec. What we have in the Supreme Court is a budget of just a little over $56 million. We took the budget as recommended with the following changes. We reduced the $200,000 of a special revenue fund for legal aid grants, and what that was just a technical correction, I believe, to make sure that the amount of money that comes in or is anticipated to come in, which this, Mr. Chairman, this is funded by a $10 court fee that goes with each filing, to make sure that the authorization matched the revenue. In addition, we took there was a request for a $1.5 million for e-citation equipment. This is the e-citation is obviously for the law enforcement to issue e-citations, which is all done electronically, and which reduce impact on courts and reduce errors and other things like that. Instead of doing that, we reduced it by that. We appropriated last time an amount for them to do that with, and so what we did is reduce that appropriation to simply allow them to carry over, and that'll be in Section 303. We also added a footnote requiring matching funds of at least $280,000 for purpose of developing a Supreme Court Learning Center. What they are is there's a learning center they're trying to put in over there where, as people come and visit the Supreme Court, which often happens, they tell us they have hundreds and hundreds of kids that come through the course of the year, that there would be some interactive learning opportunities over there in the Supreme Court and in the library. It also talks about the rule of law and other things, but anyway, they have some matching funds for that. Then there was also a Supreme Court had asked us a letter recommending an increase of $82,000 and change from the general fund for real-time court reporter salaries. Real-time is kind of an evolution in court reporting, and they thought that to encourage them, reporters, to get certified in real time, that they would offer that. The JAC looked at that and recognized that lots of professions have requirements to maintain additional education or even receive sometimes additional certifications in order to maintain their jobs, and so we didn't feel that it was appropriate to do that, so we denied that request. With that, those are the changes. We'll stand for questions, otherwise we'd call for the question.
Any further discussion?
Question.
Question has been called. All those in favor of Mr. Vice President's motion to adopt Section 8101, say aye.
Aye.
All those who oppose, say no. Section 101 has been adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate, I'm going to move all of the circuit court judges in one motion, and then my colleague will explain the rationale. So, Mr. Chairman, I move Sections 102, Board of Law Examiners, Section 103, Commission on Judicial Conduct and Ethics, Section 120, Judicial District 1A, Section 121, Judicial District 1B, Section 122, Judicial District 2A, Section 123, Judicial District 2B, Section 124, Judicial District 3B, Section 125, Judicial District 3A, Section 126, Judicial District 4, Section 127, Judicial District 5A, Section 128, Judicial District 5B, I'm going to get tongue-tied here, Section 129, Judicial District 6A, Section 130, Judicial District 7A, Section 131, Judicial District 7B, Section 133, Judicial District 8A, Section 134, Judicial District 9B, Section 135, Judicial District 6B, Section 136, Judicial District 8B, Section 137, Laramie County Court District 1C, Section 138, Sweetwater County Court District 3C, Section 139, Natrona County District 7C, Section 140, Judicial District 6C, and Section 141, Judicial District 9C, and you, my colleague from Natrona County.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, each of those were standard budgets, and we took the governor's rec, made no changes with one exception. The only exception to that was in Fremont County. There was it's 130.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, that'll be out, and we'll just talk about
that. Oh, you held that out. Okay. We held that one out, so never mind. So all those, if there's no questions, they're all standard budgets. We'll call for the question.
Okay. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, and I'm not quite sure what budget the item I want to ask you about is in, but in Natrona County, there, and maybe other counties too, but in Natrona County at least, there is an individual who serves the circuit courts and the district court when the district court is sitting as a drug court as a coordinator who makes sure that when a substance abuse offender is ordered to have a particular test or a particular evaluation, that it in fact gets done. And the individual is paid, I think in part, also works through the Community Mental Health Center, but really spends their time in the courts. Is that individual, I understand it's in the budget, is it through one of these budgets? Is it through the Health Department budget or the Family Services budget? I'm kind of at a loss and uncertainty, and I just want to make sure that individual is in fact continuing to be funded.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know the individual he's talking about, and no, that's not funded in the court budget. I'm not sure where it is. I think it may be out of the district attorney's office or the school district, but they've cobbled that together through a couple different instances. We'll have to do some research and find that out for you, but it's not in the court budget.
Question.
For discussion. Okay. Question being called. All those in favor of Mr. Vice President's motion to adopt all the sections as delineated for the court system, that would be sections 102 through 141, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. The sections have been adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Vice President.
Mr. Chairman, I move section 132, Judicial District 9A. And yield to my colleague from Detroit County.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, this is the Judicial District 9A, which is in Fremont County. In there, what the judge had is the judge had a half of a person nobody else really had. And so he was coming in. The county commissioners decided that they would no longer pay for this person. What this person does is kind of a liaison between the court and the clerk and does make sure that watches some calendar, does a little bit of but pays bills and does other things reminding the court's business. And it's been that way for many, many years in there. And this particular judge has become very dependent upon this person and believes that it was key to running his court. But nevertheless, the county commissioners came back in and said that they would no longer pay for this individual. And they'd paid for half, and the court had paid for it. The court, I think, had been doing some. But ultimately, he wanted that individual, and the justice, I believe, had recommended that, and we had pulled that out and cut that person out And that's why, that's that one change in judicial, in Judicial District 9A, which is Section 132.
Any further discussion on 132? Okay. Hearing none? Call for the question. Okay. All those in favor of Mr. Vice President's motion to adopt Section 132, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 132 is adopted. Next.
Chairman?
Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We left one out on our major list, and I would move Section 142, Judicial District 4B, standard budget, no changes. Call for the question.
Any further discussion? No further discussion. All those in favor of Mr. Vice President's motion to adopt Section 142, say aye.
Aye.
You those opposed, say no. Section 142 is adopted. Vice President.
And Mr. Chairman, and just one second. Chairman, I move Section 170, I move Section 151, District Attorney, Judicial District 1. Yield to my colleague from Natrona County.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, this is the District Attorney in Natrona County. There was a standard budget, Governor's Rec. The only difference was the agency itself, through reorganization, had reduced this one individual's, and so that's the only change was basically what they had in discussion with them, that reduction. Other than that, there are no other changes to Section 151. Would call for the question.
Okay. Any further discussion? Question's been called for. All those in favor of Mr. Vice President's motion to adopt Section 151, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Section 151 has been adopted. Mr.
Vice Chairman, I move Section 157, District Attorney, Judicial District Number 7. Yield to my colleague from Natrona County.
Senator Perkins.
Hi. Hi. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Mr. Chairman. How are you doing?
Mr. Chairman,
I misspoke. 151 is the Laramie County District Attorney, and I referred to him as the Natrona County District Attorney. I hope he'll forgive me. Section 157 is the Natrona County District Attorney. Standard budget, no changes. Would call for the question unless there are questions.
Any further discussion on this? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor of Mr. Vice President's motion to adopt Section 157, say aye. Those opposed, say no. Section 157 has been adopted. Mr. Vice President, aye.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Section 160, County and Prosecuting Attorneys, and yield to my colleague from Natrona County.
Senator Perkins, how you doing?
I'm fine, Mr. President. Thanks for asking. Mr. Chairman, thanks for asking. Standard budget on Purple County and Prosecuting Attorneys. The only difference that you see in the JC changes is a reduction of $305,680. If I can just explain that really quick. What that was is the $6,694,000 that you see on the revised governor's rec is the amount that if every county and prosecuting attorney was paid the maximum, that's what the obligation is. Not every county pays all of their county attorneys and their deputies to the maximum. So what that is that the reduction that takes it down to what we anticipate the actual number will be.
If there's
no questions, we'll call for the question.
Okay. No further discussion? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor of Mr. Vice President's motion to adopt Section 160, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Section 160 is adopted, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we have an answer to my tall colleague's question from Natrona County. That's under the drug court system. It's in the district courts, and it's an AWAC position. It's funded 50% by the Department of Health and 50% by Department of Family Services. Mr. Chairman, I move Section 167, UW Medical Education. Yield to my colleague from Goshen County.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the total budget on this is $48,696,391. It consists of four programs. The first program is the family medical practice residency. There's 14 new primary physicians admitted each year. It's a three-year program, 42 residents in training at any one time. These residents have stayed and practiced in Wyoming in over 40 different communities. There's currently 80 practicing residencies in the state. The second thing that this outfit does is they kind of have a safety health care net. They've had 15,600 patients for an average cost of less than $2,000. And these folks have little or no health insurance. So that's kind of another safety net. The other program we have under that is a WAMI program that provides 20 Wyoming students with medical education through a regional program at the University of Washington. Then we have the YDENT program that's based on the WAMI model that provides for 8 Wyoming students enrolled each year in either Creighton or University of Nebraska four-year dental schools for a total of 32 at any one time. And then we have the accelerated nursing program. That's an intensive course of study that provides students who already have a bachelor's degree in some discipline with a nursing degree within 15 months. It's been successful in helping train nurses well and quickly deal with the statewide nursing shortage. The state fund supports 5 scholarships. Mr. Chairman, there were no footnotes on this, and so I would call for any questions. If there are no questions, I would call for the question.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, in the discussion on these programs, for example, the 20 slots that we've got with University of Washington, what we found over the past is that every so often a slot comes open, and a university such as University of Wyoming, if we put up some money, as I understand it, you just kind of go buy them if they're available. Was there any discussion or any investigation? Are there any slots open? And you know, kind of what's the going rate to buy one of those? Because then you can lock them in for residents of our state to fill that slot. Was there any talk of utilizing this program even more?
Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe there was a lot of discussion on that, but we primarily are staying within our budget and in the legislative direction of just 20 Wyoming students. I believe those slots would become available and from time to time, but I guess if you would look at it and just do the math, divide 20 into 12 million, that would probably tell you what the slot cost would be. You know, but I could do the math and make sure what the math would be. You know, Mr. Chairman, we're just staying within the 20.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, my recollection is that in order to acquire one of those slots, as I remember, you actually go in and purchase the slot. $20 million, this is what it costs annually. This is the operating budget for those. But let me point out that program, in terms of providing healthcare professionals to our state, has been phenomenally successful, more successful in Wyoming than any other participating state in the percentage of students we enroll in it and that come back and stay and practice medicine in Wyoming. It's actually worked. And I know my colleague from Natrona County, a number of years ago, and I believe at that time we were half the number of slots we have now or somewhere right around there, said, wait a minute, let's go start pushing. And you know, one of the great things, his timing was great because there was a downturn in the Washington economy, and, of course, then their university was not suffering but financially strapped, and we walked in and bought some of those slots and filled them, and then I believe we expanded it one more time. Every time their economy goes down, it's a bargain basement, and that is a wonderful investment for healthcare in a state that is desperately short of professional healthcare providers.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Vice President. Senator Scott. Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, it has been a wonderful investment. I will, however, express a concern that the University of Washington is changing the curriculum and the way it's managed in a way that gives me reason to question whether the students are going to continue to get the excellent education. It has been the second year has been on the home campus in the home teaching hospital, University of Washington, and they're changing that. And I don't know enough at this point yet as to whether we need to do something about it, but I will register that there's a change coming that gives me some concern with this program going forward.
Senator Schiffer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and I share that concern, but to be honest with you, I attribute it to some of the new medical treatments that they've legalized out there in Washington State. But I figure that, you know, they'll get adjusted to that new high dosage, and then they'll get leveled out again, maybe, and so we'll see how it goes.
Thank you, Mr. Bargain Basement Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this might partially answer some of the questions. There was an expansion request in the governor's budget of $2,049,726, and that was approved by the JAC. So it's in there, and it covers four student expansions in 2011 for a cost of $890,000, summer tuition for three additional students, and an inflation factor for 15 and 16 of $889,000, and an tuition inflation of 2.9 and 3% for the regular academic years of 2015 and 16. So it's a good program. You know, I would say that we're looking at that and expanding it, so that's our commitment to it.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I think we're talking about just a little bit two different things. That's at least over the last 10 years. I think we started off and we had 10 students. And Senator Casey and I co-chaired, we went up to 12, then we went up to 14, we got up to 16. The 2011 was, we learned, frankly, from children of ours that were attending in Washington, that Washington was opening up 20 more slots for the WAMI states. And during that time, we had actually asked UW to investigate whether we could buy more seats at another university. When Washington learned that, they said, well, wait a minute. First of all, we don't want you going somewhere else. Second, we have slots. And at that time, I think we could have gotten more than four. But four was what we bargained for out of that 20 new slots that are opening up for all the WAMI states. The cost that the chairman of appropriation talks about is when you put online four more students, the first year is pretty much free because there's a fixed cost at university, and the UW's facilities at Laramie are designed for 20 students, so there was no additional cost for adding those first year of students. Then their real tuition begins when those first year students then enter into education at Washington. And then by the fourth year, now you have four times four, so you have 16 students now going through the program. So the cost that gets ratcheted up is the ratcheting up of cost as each class enters. The cost ratchets up until you reach the full maximum hit where you have all four classes lined up with four additional students. So we're at 20, and my recollection is that maximizes or uses all the physical seats that are available in the healthcare science building. So they've got 20 seats there. They've got cadaver labs for 20 students, so that beyond that 20, then we have to begin to think about do we expand the facilities here at Laramie or at Laramie to accommodate more students there? Having said that, it is true that is the best recruitment that we've had. I mean, you look back 10 years ago and we were wondering how we were going to replace retiring doctors. We had the baby bubble, baby boomer.
Baby boomer.
Yeah, that's right. The boomers coming through. We were told we were going to really have a deficit of physicians. There doesn't seem to be as much discussion. We now have a unique opportunity where the doctor of the day that's been here several times from Buffalo is actually the director that's an employee of WAMI. So if we're wanting more positions, we ought to alert him that that's of interest to us. And then you begin to watch for those open seats. And chairman, or the chairman of judiciary is actually right, that those seats come available at times that you don't expect them. You don't know about them unless you're watching for them and you've let Washington know it. The good news is we started this program out, they expressed real concern that we could supply 20 students who could maintain the quality of the reputation of the University of Washington program. And everything that I've heard in the last inquiry is they're very proud of our students. They've hung with the best, and we think we probably have more that we could supply. So I think the JAC should typically, every year, get in the practice of saying, are there more seats available? What would it cost to increase? And that's just an annual inquiry that needs to be made.
Is there any further discussion on this baby bubble bargain basement section? No?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, there is. Apparently there is.
I'm not sure if that's what I want to talk about.
Okay.
I wanted to bring to the body's attention some discussion we had about the family practice residencies. And, of course, we have two of them, one in Cheyenne and one in Casper. And there's a lot of discussion by your Joint Appropriations Committee about the mission and what the costs are there. And you all remember that there were some issues in Casper relative to the university having one program up there and then the people that were running that program. I call it a divorce, and they left and started another one. Then they're talking about getting back together, and it's a thing that's escalating in terms of cost. We looked at how many of those resident physicians actually come back to the state, and there are some, but there again, I just wanted to bring the body's attention that this is an issue that's just, we need to look at that, and I think the Appropriations Committee will continue to do that. We have a commitment from the University of Wyoming also to further look into this, and it's a big ticket item, $31 million. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion? Question being called?
Question.
Okay. Thank you. All those in favor of Mr. Vice President's motion to adopt Section 167, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Section 167 has been adopted. Mr. Vice President.
Mr. Chairman, I move Section 205. Oh,
Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Heard the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye. I got more pens and pencils here, and I don't know what to do with it. You'll put your script up there, Mr. President.
Good job. Good job.
We're good? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
I know where we're going. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 2 p.m.
Recess?
Recess.
That's not what my cheat sheet. I went down the bottom. Cheat sheet says recess until 2 p.m.
Okay. Any announcements? Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources, will meet upon adjournment tonight to take up Senate File 97, Appropriations of Wyoming Business Council. Is that the right one? No. Nope. Don't know where that one came from. We're going to take up Senate File 110, Water Change of Use, Senate File 115, Warrantless Searches Repeal.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 12, Rules, will meet today, noon recess, in room S14, to consider the following. Rules of the Wyoming Senate. Senate File 106, State Education Administration. Senate File 11, Appropriation for the Legislature. Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, 8:30 a.m., February 19th, in room S11, to consider the following Senate files. Senate File 100, Business Ready Community Program Modification. Senate File 82, 2014 large project funding re-referral, and Senafile 89 health professionals Medicaid billing re-referral.
Further announcements? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate stands in recess until 2 p.m.